Hello, everybody. I'm back at my post again. I was way up in Ontario for over a week, and now we're back in Nova Scotia and back to our series on the Psalms. Today we're on Psalm 116. If you'll open your Bibles to Psalm 116, it's a lovely psalm of praise and thanksgiving for deliverance from trial and deliverance from deep waters. The psalm opens up with the wonderful words, "I love the Lord." And this expression of praise is on the lips of one who has experienced deliverance after times of deep trial. Of course, all of us as believers will pass through times of testing, times of trial, times when we feel like I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. And then the Lord makes a way for us, and we give thanks to his name. And as we have here in the psalm, verse 1, "I love the Lord, because he heard my voice and my supplications." And any of us who have experienced this, the answered prayer of deliverance, will understand what the psalmist means here. And I believe the psalm is part of the great Hallel Psalms. We'll say more about that when we get to Psalm 118. And the Hallel Psalms were sung during the Passover season, especially. And then we get in verse 3, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell," or the terrors of Sheol, "got a hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." And no doubt here, whatever it was that the psalmist passed through, we can certainly see shadows here of our Lord Jesus. If not a direct prophecy, at least the shadows, a shadow of our Lord, where sorrows had compassed him about, and the terrors of Sheol surrounded him. We see especially in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we get another lovely verse in verse 5, where we get three features of God brought before us. It says, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful." So there's three things. He's gracious, he's righteous, and he's merciful. In fact, that third word, merciful, literally means full of compassion or compassionate. So he's gracious, he's righteous, and he's compassionate. This is our God. He's not some unfeeling being way out in the great beyond who's indifferent to the plight of men. Rather, we see that the Lord is gracious. Peter says that. "Taste and see that the Lord is gracious, and he's righteous, of course, and compassionate." And then we get verse 6. It says, "The Lord preserves the simple." And the idea of simple is not being a simpleton or anything like that, but simplicity. Paul desired of the Corinthians that they would know the simplicity of that which is in Christ, and not be led away by the error of Satan, be deceived by Satan, but cleave to the simplicity which is in Christ. I think that's the idea here. And the Lord preserves the simple. If we keep simple, if we are simple in the things of the Lord, if he is our object alone, and we're not led away by other things, the devil will not be able to trip us up so easily. And so it says he preserves such. And then we can't read all the psalm. It's 19 verses. But we get in verse 10, "I have believed, therefore have I spoken." And Paul, the Apostle Paul, quotes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, and applying it to his ministry and the ministry of the apostles. "We've believed, therefore we have spoken." You know, we get this several times. We had, I think it was Psalm, maybe 107, or perhaps it was Psalm 106, 107, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If we believe, then we'll speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, the Bible says. Our what is in our heart will come out in our mouth. And if we believe in the Lord Jesus, we will confess his name, and we'll speak publicly of him. We'll confess him before others. I have believed, therefore I have spoken. It's an evidence of reality. And then in verse 11, it says, "I said in my haste, all men are liars." Now, when it says, "I have said in my haste," doesn't mean that he was wrong in saying this. It's simply that in his consternation, he said, all men are liars. The Apostle Paul quotes this in Romans chapter 3, verse 4, where he's showing the sinfulness of man. And he directly quotes this passage. Now, if I just quickly turn to it, I'll read it in the context of which Paul brings it out. He says, God forbid, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and that mightest overcome when thou art judged. Let every man be a liar. And so the idea, of course, is not that every man are specifically are liars, but generally our hearts are bent towards this, towards deceit, towards lies. It's the sinful nature of man that's being brought out here. And then we get this lovely expressions of praise in verse 12 to 15. I'll just read it. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And then precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of all the saints. Now, verse 12, 13, and 14, here we get this thought of praise, taking up the cup of salvation. And I'm thinking with this in connection of the Lord's table. Now, this psalm would have been sung during the Passover when they drank the cup. But for us, it's the Lord's Supper. We're not looking forward or rather looking backward at a redemption from Egypt. But we look back at Christ's work on the cross and forward to his coming. We show the Lord's death, or we announce his death till he comes. We take up the cup of salvation. Now, it's not when we remember the Lord Jesus with the cup and the loaf. We're not drinking salvation. We're not saved by partaking in it. But it's a memorial. It's a reflection. It's a thanksgiving. This is exactly what's brought out in this psalm. I will pay my vows unto the Lord in the presence of all his people. This, again, is the idea of speaking, of giving thanks. For example, during the Lord's Supper, I've believed, therefore I've spoken. We shouldn't be silent. If we have salvation, we should express thanksgiving to the Lord for it. Just if you drop down to verse 17, you will see this. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. This may be the peace offering, actually. And I will call upon the name of the Lord. Now, we get a similar thing in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, where the apostle speaks of the fruit of our, the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Again, in the Lord's Supper, the brethren, we don't need a priest, we don't need a man to do it for us, that we can all give thanks to the Lord for his wonderful salvation, because we have drunk from the cup of salvation. And then almost sort of out of the blue, we get verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of all of saints. Now, I can't quite get the connection here with verse 12, 13, and 14. I find the commentaries kind of slide over it a little bit, but precious in the Lord is the death of all of his saints. It's just simply an expression of truth that the Lord considers us, and especially our death. You know, not a hair falls to the ground, but the Lord doesn't see it. We're of more value of many sparrows, the Lord Jesus taught. And so here when it says precious in the sight of the Lord, the word precious may mean like expensive or costly. Like it costs the Lord something. He doesn't just take it by the way or of the course of things, but he enters into it. He considers it. He feels it when his saints die. And, of course, we know from the New Testament revelation when a believer dies, he is with Christ, which is far better. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we see this in the story of Lazarus and the rich man in Luke 16. And when the rich man died, it said he lifted up his eyes in Hades. But Lazarus, the poor man, when he died, it said angels came and carried him to the bosom of Abraham. You see, when we die as believers, when the saints die, that we are immediately in the presence of the Lord. It's not the idea of soul sleep or annihilation is a false doctrine. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of all the saints. And then the final verse, we get the exhortation of praise in the courts of the Lord's house in the midst of the old Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. It's in the courts of the Lord's house where we praise him. And for our, in our context, of course, it's not Jerusalem, but it's when we gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus where he is in the midst. The church of the living God, the house of God, it is there that we praise the Lord and give our vows of thanksgiving. May the Lord bless you today.